Cesar and Justin Timberlake, and that is The Other Side. This is Chester's D Radio. So, as we all know, we're in a lockdown situation in response to coronavirus COVID-19. We have been since Monday evening. The reason is that coronavirus is highly contagious and potentially lethal. Let's talk through the public health issues now with David Hearn, who joins me on the phone from his home. He is the Deputy Director at Public Health England North West. Good morning, David, and thank you for agreeing to come on and speak to us.
Good morning on what is a beautiful day here in Chorley.
And it's a lovely morning, another beautiful spring morning here in Chester as well. Unfortunately, that is the only thing that's good about the world at the moment. How would you assess where we're currently at in regard to coronavirus?
So we're obviously in the middle of what is turning into a global pandemic. We anticipate that the peak of the pandemic is likely to come anytime within the next 1 to 2 months. You can see from the pictures, which I'm sure people have seen on the news in Italy and Spain, just what the implications of that could be for the UK. But obviously, we're now in lockdown specifically to avoid that situation happening in the way that it is in those countries.
It may have taken a while for the message to sink through to some people, but it seems to have done finally. You know, the evidence is that the streets are more or less deserted. The whole point is that if we keep our distance from others, then that will slow the spread of the virus to reduce the peak so that the NHS can cope. That's the thrust of the whole policy, isn't it?
It is. And if you want to understand the kind of two core principles of the lockdown, they boil down to keeping family groups isolated from each other. So, in other words, the household that you live in not coming into contact with any other household, so that you create individual household units and then you keep them in essentially a quarantine for 21 days. And within that 21 days, it guarantees that anybody who's got the virus will develop the symptoms and potentially then experience the disease. And by the end of the 21 days, nobody should be left in the household who still has it. So you've got those two things operating at the same time, a set of rules which are asking people not to try and talk to any other household or come in contact with any other household, and to do that for a period long enough to ensure that the virus has worked its course in that household.
Right, now you've just mentioned 21 days there, David. We're hearing different lengths of time for isolation. We're hearing 7 days, we're hearing 14 days, we're hearing 21 days. It all depends on the circumstances, doesn't it? Perhaps you could just sort of shed some light on that for us.
So 21 days, the 3 weeks that the Prime Minister talks about on Monday evening, basically boils down to the number of people in household. So if you've got one person living on their own and they start to develop symptoms, the advice is very clear: for 7 days, self-isolate. And at the end of that 7-day period, the evidence tells us that the virus is no longer contagious. So you've worked through the symptoms, you're no longer shedding the virus, and you are then usually, under normal circumstances, able to go out and start to contact other people without being in a risk of passing on the disease. If you've got more than one person in that household, then clearly what can happen is that any time in that 7-day period, they could pick up the coronavirus from you. And immediately that then extends the overall period that the household needs to be self-isolating. So you can go from advice which is 7 days from one person to 14 days for the household. And the reason it's 14 days is that that allows enough time for anybody else who might have contracted the virus to develop symptoms and then understand that the house needs to stay self-isolated.
Right, so isolation, self-isolation, should begin the moment anybody within a household feels that they're developing the symptoms, which we know to be a new persistent dry cough and or a fever.
Exactly that. You've got the message spot on there, yes.
People have got a lot of worries, though, about isolating in regard to food. If they're isolating, obviously they can't go to the shops, medicine, caring responsibilities, even work is a worry for a lot of people. How can people manage those needs, those very essential and basic needs during a period of isolation?
So I think you can see that the advice on Monday night was quite explicit in terms of staying home, only going outside for food or health reasons, or for work where it's absolutely imperative that you're in work, and that if you have to go out, that you observe the 2 meter rule about staying apart from other people. Now, that clearly doesn't apply necessarily to the people from your own household, because it may well be that you're in close proximity with them already. But for the people who are having to go out, perhaps go on public transport or go to the shops, observing that 2 meter rule is a critical part of retaining that self-isolation.
Yeah.
And then when you get home, so if you've been to the shops, you've observed the 2 meter rule and you've come home, the key thing then is to wash your hands and make sure that if you've got any virus on you, that you ensure that you've cleaned that before you then go round the house and potentially distribute it.
Right, OK, I was going to come on to hand washing in a moment, but seeing as how you bring it up, how often should we be washing our hands? I mean, once an hour, once every half an hour?
So there's no hard and fast rule on this. It's much more about routinely and regularly just washing your hands through the course of the day and making sure that each time you do it, you observe the advice around hand washing, so that 20 seconds, two rounds of Happy Birthday, or whichever popular song you want to use, to make sure that you've sufficiently cleaned your hands to remove the virus. I think if you were to say every hour or two, I think you're probably in the order of the amount of hand washing that would be advised.
Right, and is it liquid soap that's best, or a bar of soap, or does it not much matter?
Soap.
Any soap. Any soap,
yep.
At all.
Yeah. Soap.
Okay. Social distancing, you touched on a few minutes ago. That's the 2 meter thing. I suppose that what you're saying is, we can put it in a nutshell, you should never be closer to anybody unless they live in the same house as you than 2 meters for the next 3 weeks.
Yes, and there is a bit of a caveat on the home isolation as well. So if somebody does have symptoms at home, then it's sensible to try and apply the 2 meter rule to them. So if you follow the government's advice, what it's suggesting is that when somebody has the symptoms, that they try and isolate themselves within the house to avoid passing it on to other people. Because obviously what you're trying to avoid is a situation where everybody in the house ends up with it. So if you are able to isolate yourself either in a room or to make sure that you just stay distant from the other members of the family, what you're likely to do then is avoid giving the other people the virus. It doesn't change the 14-day rule if you're doing that, because the 14-day rule is about making sure that if you've had it, you then observe long enough to make sure that other people in the house haven't. So after 14 days, you know that everybody in the house is probably clear, certainly within the confines of the household. But in that period when you're infected yourself, do try and observe that 2 meter rule.
Right. So with absolutely everybody and with people in your household as well, if you possibly can, if you feel you're infected.
Yeah, it's about recognising that there are practicalities around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's minimising the risks at every possible moment of your life, isn't it?
I couldn't have put it better.
When might we see, David? Is it going to be 3 weeks before we're going to see whether these measures have had an effect? Because You know, at the moment, cases are rising. I think overnight the figures were, they've gone up 1,500 in the UK. So the cases, the daily cases are rising by a greater number every day. Is it after 3 weeks of this that we might see the curve starting to go down?
So I think we need to be realistic as what with our expectations. So there's a range of modelling assumptions that the scientific cell that's supporting the government have been looking at. A lot of this hinges on how well people observe the guidelines. Now, I know anecdotally from what I see when I'm out for my daily run or ride, and from what other people feedback and what I'm seeing on social media, people are still trying to find ways in which they can find the wiggle room, shall we say, in the guidelines. The bottom line is we've all got to strictly adhere to this, because without it, what we might find at the end of that 3 week period is that we're not flattening the peak. So in other words, that the rate might slightly reduce, but instead of flattening it and reduce and stopping the rate of climb, we end up in a situation where all we've done is just slightly reduce the rate at which it's going up. But that's in our gift.
Yeah.
So that basically that comes back to the members of the public in the Northwest all recognising their individual responsibility to play their part for other people's benefit.
So if we go through the pain now, in 3 weeks we might have, although there will be pain still, there might be less pain.
True. And I think the key thing to understand is, because everybody's focused on that 3 week period, that will not be the end. It might be that we're seeing the beginning of the point at which it changes. What I think everybody needs to understand is some of these aspects of social distancing will need to operate beyond that.
Yes, I don't think anyone's under any illusion that we're all going to be back to normal the day after the Easter holidays, but, you know, that's the point at which a judgment's going to be able to be made. I think, if I've read this correctly, that we're on the right track at least.
I think that's probably a fair assumption, yes.
Okay. Just a few questions to finish, if you don't mind, David, because I know you've got to get on and talk to our sister station in a moment, but a few questions we've had in. Is it okay to take your daily exercise with somebody else as long as they stay 2 metres apart from you at all times?
Only if they're from the same household.
Okay, somebody else has been in touch and said they've seen people wearing face masks on the street. How helpful is it to wear a face mask?
Face masks, definitely for our clinical colleagues. So I'm sure everybody will have seen there's been a great deal of discussion on the media about the need for our clinicians to have the right sort of personal protective equipment. For members of the public, very, very limited value. Quite honestly, I can't imagine a situation where people would benefit greatly from using them. As long as you observe the 2 metre rule and you are scrupulous with your hand hygiene and your respiratory hygiene, so in other words, coughing into a hanky or into your elbow, face mask is pretty much not required.
I've seen people wearing them in supermarkets and walking down the street, but that's not really going to be of much benefit.
2 metre rule is just as effective for you. This is about droplet spread. If you stay 2 metres apart, then you've pretty much done the job that you're expecting a face mask to do. So okay, it's much easier to do that than it is to try and get hold of a face mask.
Just a couple more, if you don't mind, David. What surfaces should we be most concerned about in terms of what sort of surface can the virus live for on the longest and the shortest?
So two things to say on cleaning. Any household cleaning products, so any of your detergents or your household antibacterial materials, they'll do the job. Use them regularly and use them in places where people touch regularly. So think about things like door handles, banister rails, kitchen surfaces. So the sorts of places where you can see that what people are likely to do is put the hand down and then potentially somebody else come along and put their hand on the same spot. So it's very much about those surfaces where you know people put their hand on a regular basis.
And any household cleaner will do the job fine. You don't have to get sort of top of the range stuff.
No, this any sort of household detergent, not detergent, bleach, or, well, yeah, detergents and bleaches, actually. Any of those will do the job.
Smashing. Some brilliant information there, some really useful stuff. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on the show today, David.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much indeed. David Hearn is the Deputy Director at Public Health England North West.
Traffic and travel with Fords of Winsford. All makes, all models, all budgets available.